We're live.
We are getting ready to get started. Appreciate you all being here and wanted to apologize for the last minute meeting room location change, but glad you all found it. My name is Samantha Sagala. I just want to do some quick housekeeping items. We do have a few on Zoom. My computer is the microphone for today, unfortunately, so if you do make any public comments or want to ask questions, please be sure to speak up. I believe there are restrooms.
You know, the restrooms are down the hallway. You'll find an ambulance behind the hallway off the left.
Hallway off to the left. Okay, thank you. Pointed in the A direction. But with that, we'll go ahead and get started.
All right. Again, yeah, thanks, everybody. Appreciate y'all showing up and going from there. We go like I do in the meetings, I like everybody to know everybody so we can go around and introduce everybody. I'm Jay Trudeau, chairman of the LSBD committee. I own Sunshine Daydream and the Emporium in the Loop.
Renee Bolzarth, Artisans in the Loop.
Becky Alvin,
Economic
Development Manager.
Everyone, Juan Lewis, Economic Development Specialist at City Hall.
Anyone else?
Those are our
people.
Joe Edwards, Blueberry Joe.
I'm Eric Borman, I live down the street on the loop.
Dave Campbell, our neighborhoods.
Joanne Schooler, Washington University.
Ben McCall, Washington.
Suzanne Schumer, resident and owner of property in Loop East.
Wayne Slevison, Third Ward City Council.
Mm-hmm. Kevon Martin, Figozo team with the Real Mark.
Should I say the team?
Zach Jagodiak, Fly with the Conquest, which is.
All right.
This year,
all right. Well, thank you. Moving on to.
Sorry, I just wanted to let you all know we have one more round of coffee for Annie. So while she's doing that, if you haven't already, please sign in and grab an agenda if you need one, and we'll resume in just 1 minute.
Was there any
public
comments?
I'm going to
pause
recording.
Again for the inconvenience.
Recording started again.
Also know that on Zoom we have Michael Alter, we have Kevin McGuire, and Neha from Brew Bite. Record, if you have joined us on Zoom.
And there's one person left. Connie, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Ian Hubner, and I work at TechRP. So sorry about the confusion this morning. They had a security incident or something yesterday, and they locked down the conference rooms in the restroom. So didn't know that was going to happen. And we're here on the fly.
Okay.
Ready to go in the kitchen.
All right, so we're going to move. So we do have a quorum today with Michael on the Zoom here. So we are going to move to the approval of the special board meeting that we had on January 27th. Many of y'all know we called the special meeting to approve an MOU to where it kind of falls into the new business of bringing on a director here and helping us with bringing on Samantha Smugala. So we need to approve the minutes from there. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
There a second, Michael?
Michael, can you hear us?
I got a second.
There we go. We got a second?
Yep.
Okay. So with that being said, a third, it's unanimous that the minutes for the special business meeting has been approved. And go from there. All right. So in this new business, I just want to talk a little bit about what we've kind of done here, moving the loop forward. We've basically brought Samantha on as a consultant here in the West Loop so that she'll be working with the entire loop and we can collaborate together on initiatives, grants, things like that that can really improve the whole district of the loop, helping us with the meetings, helping us with business, you know, bringing business to the loop, filling these spaces here and stuff like that that we all want to see this loop do. I think it is going to be a tremendous addition to what we're trying to do in the Del Mar Loop here, and I think it's going to be great. And did you want to say something to welcome her to helping us? I mean, everybody knows her. But, yeah.
I promise that this first meeting will not reflect reflect the stumbles that we might encounter as we continue to move together with the Loop Special Business District and the East Loop SID. I've been the executive director for the East Loop SID for about a little over 3 years now, working on all things economic development, safety and security, infrastructure initiatives, small business support, and I'm truly excited to bring all of those initiatives over to the Loop Special Business District as a true collaborative effort between the East and the West side of the Del Mar Loop. This is a phased approach, so my time with the Loop Special Business District is on a certain allocation, and the first 5 months, I just want to make everyone aware, I'll be really focusing on foundational elements, organizational structure and stability, policies and procedures, and then putting together sort of a strategic plan for both organizations to move forward collaboratively together. So if you guys have any questions, if you want to reach out, have coffee, I would love to get to know all of you. I know most of you, but I'm excited to continue building relationships here. My card is over by the sign-in sheet by the agendas, so please feel free to reach out to me. And let's move the loop forward together. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question here.
Sure.
A couple of months ago, we were introduced to three people who were going to do this job. I'm so happy it's Samantha. But what happened to them?
Oh, you're talking about STL Bucket List?
Yeah.
So STL Bucket List does all the social media and the website.
Okay.
So they handle all of that. So, which I don't know if you noticed, but I think that really, we've been out there in social media, and that has been really, really good. And I think they've been doing an excellent job so far. Yeah.
So happy to have you.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the staffing up there. From the city, Becky?
Hi, I'm Becky. As I mentioned, Economic Development Manager for the city. Our facade improvement applications closed last week, and so we're week before, but they closed January 30th, that was 2 days ago. So we are in process of going through those applications. We anticipate the next round of applications opening in July. So if you missed this round, or your friend or colleague missed this round, it's okay. We're going to open them back up in July, hopefully. Everything going according to plan. Other than that, I don't think I have any other updates.
Okay.
Can I ask you one question? Is it tonight that they're going to have the meeting about the new city manager?
Tomorrow.
Yes.
That's fine.
The consultant will be available for the community meeting tonight at 7 o'clock at the community center.
Okay, thank you.
Is the grant still the same 15-15? You can up to 15,000?
Up to 15,000. So the facade is up to 15,000 in matching funds for the exterior improvements. Juan and I are working on other grants to pull forward that we hopefully start deploying some of the economic development sales tax funds out back into the business community. So we're finishing those grants up to take those through the approval process.
How will that impact us?
Businesses would be eligible for those grants.
In what capacity? In money or in food?
Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't fully, they're not developed yet. That's what we're working on.
Government. There you go. All right. Yeah, so Terry Crow couldn't be here. He had a meeting so that he couldn't be there. Did you talk to Captain Eisenberg, Samantha?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, so we'll move on to Joanna from WashU.
Okay. Just a couple of quick things. Last week, we had a big meeting with the neighbors. The chancellor hosted a meeting with the neighbors on campus just to provide an update on the university, talking about how things are going through the year, and also just trying to have a dialogue with the neighbors. So many of you who live in the neighborhoods close by should have gotten postcards. We'll look to do that annually. The turnout was really good, and so that was a good thing. Talking about how things are going.
We are preparing for Mardi Gras, not because it's a WashU thing. We're very conscious of the fact that students are out and about in the neighborhoods and in the area, and, you know, we watch out for those things and try to ensure that they have the awareness of expectations in the neighborhood. So good partnership. I mentioned that because it's a really good partnership with the University City Police. Who knows what the weather's going to be like? They may end up being here on the loop. If so, we'll be using the app. That'll be a good thing, you know? But in any case, good partnership going on there. And the other piece is spring break is March 9th through the 13th. So when I come next month, we'll be in the spring break, just getting everybody prepared with that will be going on. And the biggest thing that I have to tell everybody today is that my colleague, Ben McCall, is here with me, who is working diligently a month in on our commercial real estate work. So just want to introduce him and to all of you, and please know we'll see the two of us. You'll see him a lot on the news, and you'll see the two of us doing the meetings together. Mm-hmm. And thank you. And also congratulations on your Ice Car. I don't want to steal the thunder, but thank you for all the hard work.
All right. Thank you so much. And nice meeting you, Ben. Welcome.
Look forward to meeting you all. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll go to the East Loop update. So, Samantha?
Yeah, I think I'll wait to give updates on the Ice Carnival until we hit our events, but there are a couple of new businesses scheduled to move into the East Loop in 2026. One is a steakhouse in the old Prime 55 space on Rosedale and Del Mar. It's called Jekyll and Hyde. Anticipated opening date will be mid to late March. This is a business owner who already exists on the boulevard, Doug Nguyen. He owns Amigo Soul and Soul to Soul, so we're really excited to have, you know, someone who's been very successful continue to invest in the Loop and bring another great business there. We also will have Brasas, the Peruvian rotisserie chicken place, is expanding into the vacant building next door. And so it's going to be a new concept, but an expansion of their business, which we're excited about. They've been a great addition to the Loop. Well, a lot of people's new favorite restaurant, I would say. If you haven't been, Peruvian rotisserie chicken, it's not watering.
And where is it?
This is across from the pageant.
Okay.
In the building, I believe it's 161. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna.
That's okay.
It's in the 6150 block. Yeah.
I've tried to get in 3 times.
Yeah, I would say you can't. It's hard to get in. You gotta make reservations.
For Ice Carnival, the day it snowed.
So I need to the previous day. Yeah.
And then the guys that are next door, the Rockwell guys.
Yes, I believe it. I think it would be a collaboration with Rockwell.
They're doing the food at Rockwell now for us.
Yes. So we're excited about that. And then we also have a new claw machine arcade moving in this summer right next to Pinup Bowl. So another fun, entertainment-focused business that we're excited about. We're continuing work on the streetscape project this year in 2026, and that is our streetscape project from Wabash Station to DeBolivar. So more updates on that as we continue to work. But that's all I have for East Loop right now.
All right. So then we're going to go into, anybody have any questions or anything? Or feel free.
Well, may I ask one question?
Sure.
The old tire company that's right there.
Oh, thank you for bringing it up.
Any interest in that building at all?
I'm glad you brought it up. So actually the old Dobb site, which is at Rosedale and Del Mar on the north side, WashU has proposed, and maybe I should let WashU talk about this, demolition of that site. And we've met with the community. Yep.
That particular site, you know, there's been a lot of work for many years to try to figure out something that would be a transit-oriented type of development, listening to the feedback that has come from a number of different outreach and charrettes by different organizations with the neighborhoods. That's
absolutely still the goal. However, that building itself was damaged in the tornado. We had multiple buildings in Skeeter to Bolivar on campus, but also Skeeter to Bolivar and on down Del Mar that were damaged. And so, given the condition of the building itself, that building, and then there's another building that is to the east that is called the Sunshine Building. And at this very moment, I usually know these addresses, but one is 6059 is the Sunshine Building, and then the Dobbs Building that we're talking about. Both used to be car dealerships, both very much damaged to the storms. Those buildings we have, we've talked about taking those buildings down. The good thing about taking these steps is that they will, it will prepare those sites to be able to be used when the opportunity is there for a transit-oriented development. As we all know right now, federal dollars focused on transit are not that easily, readily available at the moment. So we know that there's diligent work going on there, and that's what's going on with those two properties right now.
And I do apologize because you may have updated this group before, but any idea what's happening with the old Crescent Plumbing building?
Yeah. Well, that building itself, as you know, all of that in that area, we are doing a bunch of work in terms of the UNPA, sorry, everybody. We, WashU is doing a lot of assessment of our real estate, really doing a campus kind of data gathering process, and it's part of that process, which takes time, takes lots of time. The focus is to have input and dialogue as we get through that process. Very, very early, very initial stages in that process, but that will be included in that process. As we look at our properties from Clayton through to University City, and in the city of St. Louis, the Crescent Plumbing site would be, a former Crescent Plumbing site would be, is part of that process.
Okay, thank you. And then we'll have all the answers in a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
You see how bigger
it's
smiled
at. She's on spring break, too.
All right, let's move on to the...
One more thing on that. On the Dobbs site, and I'll be loud, that demolition is going to take time, but the plan and the commitment we've made is to have it open for uses similar to some of the other sites that we have when there are activities in the community. So being able to access that site to be used as we think about festivals and events in the loop, that site will be available. So it will be available in the 2027 time frame unless something really big happens and there's a development ready to go right then and there.
Right.
That's our goal. Okay?
Are you going to fence it off too again like you did the other side?
We'll fence it, but there will also be access points so you can get in on both sides so that we can use it.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Cool. That's great. All right. Thanks, Joy. All right, so we're going to move on to the Ice Carnival, give you all a recap on how that went and all that kind of stuff. So,
Ice Carnival was a great success. Again, it was our 19th year. I will say we did see a bit less of attendees than we had in the previous year. In 2025, we saw over 10,000 people come out to the Ice Carnival. It was a beautiful day in the 40s. I think with the rescheduled date and the cold, cold temperatures, we saw a little less than half that, probably about 4,000 people who came out. But what we did see was people would come out, walk around and see sculptures, and then dive into a warm business and patronize that business. So I really do believe that we still met our goals of boosting economic vitality and having our local businesses supported. We did a survey, and we're still waiting for some of the results to come out, and I'm happy to send this out, but most businesses saw between 50% more foot traffic than a normal Saturday in January. Same thing with revenue. So we're averaging about 30% more foot traffic and revenue for those businesses on a very cold Saturday when we typically don't see a lot of people out. We have a couple of fun quotes. The Ice Carnival is my favorite day of the year. And all of our vendors, participating businesses, performers, really applauded the professionalism of the team and thanked us for being organized. They got the event logistics ran super smooth. So that's what we want, because we want those people to come back and be a part of our event again. So that's kind of the update on Ice Carnival. Any questions on Ice Carnival? Looking at my notes.
Just a couple of comments about the external. It was lighter, and it was pretty cold. When I started at Grant for the first many years, I felt that we needed to have an annual event on a weekend that we could kind of own. And that's why I picked this particular weekend. Mardi Gras and so on and so on. So other areas have it on a certain weekend, but this is our weekend. It's nice. I still think it's worth considering going back to being a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday. Some families in Missouri general way that can't come in on one day, so they can come in on the other, or both. If they really like it, a lot of people did go on both days, so it's worth looking into it. And when you put all this stuff out, it's kind of nice to enjoy it for 2 days. And so the upper end for good floats and, you know, our, you know, ice sculptures and all that. Other things. Merchants can invest more in having fun whimsical events and get their vendors to donate more in prizes for food and beverage. If we had colorful posters in every store, we don't all merchants really did not that we do too. Like, you know, starting the 1st of December or late December of it. And we got a lot of holiday foot traffic in that month, so they sooner we get the posters up and good colorful ones, and we have a better chance of better attendance at the Ice Carnival. I think it's worth looking into having a two-sided banner across Belmar, especially across, because the number of cars, there's 37,000 cars a day, and they just see this exciting event.
Have we done that in the past? Can we do that? City people? I mean, I think that was the issue with the whole the trolley and all the wires up there, but I don't think they're hot now, so I mean, I would think that we should be able to hang a banner across.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Okay. We talked about that in the notes in the post meeting that we had for the carnival, but that's exactly right. And the, yeah, go ahead, keep going, sorry.
Perhaps a budget for businesses that propose a good colorful plan. If all of this is, and more is pulled together by April or May, we can be listed in travel magazines and websites by late summer as temperatures start to drop. We can direct them to us. Then when other areas have nothing, including us, except we'll have the request. I think it's worth having more DJs in every block. Just having music going is exciting when you walk up and down. And you don't have to stay around and just feel, you know, kind of positive. And it's very relevant, it's an expensive thing to do. And if we had carnival games, but it's called the West Carnival, we had carnival games outside at various places, whether the stores, Splashroom, or Man, then that's also kind of nice. It's more visual than one thing, and it's a lot of fun, people walking up and down the street. Inexpensive, but fun prizes.
All right.
Thanks, Joe. For those of you on Zoom, I'll just repeat a couple of Jeremy Works comments on Ice Carnival. Considering going back to a two-day event, assisting businesses with whether it's a grant to host their own events, businesses can ask vendors to donate prizes, start promoting earlier to take advantage of holiday traffic, potentially to the two-sided banner across Belmar prior to the event to advertise. If we start playing earlier, we can be listed in travel magazines for the summer. more music along Del Mar and then carnival games because it is the Ice Carnival. The team did have what we call a retro meeting after the event, and we discussed a lot of these items, but I'll make sure that these notes also get entered into our list for the retro. We will revisit those notes whenever we start planning again for Ice Carnival. And next year is our 20th year, so we're looking at our budgets to see if we can invest more. We're trying to decide what we can do to make this our biggest year yet. I think it's a major accomplishment. Joe started this event almost 20 years ago now, so it's something that we really do call our own, and no one else has really done anything like this. So thank you for starting it, and we hope to honor this tradition.
Thanks for coming to your own. When I first started, I for promotions, I shaped myself into a ball, covered myself with snow, and rolled down double over. It was pretty mature crowds. It's come along with that.
Is there a video of that, Joe?
I thought.
Are you volunteering?
Yeah.
So we need more spectacles, is that what you're saying?
You're not.
I don't know if I feel like rolling down.
It was not, no. Oh, yeah. Open for
comedy. Yeah. There's an opening.
I remember that.
Yeah. There was a lot of things that I think you guys have done in the past, and me and Michael had talked about in the post meeting, and you know, things that we've done in the past that we could bring back for the 20th, you know, and really blow it out next year. So, but of course it's weather permitting, because it was a big task for us to move it to the next week. And for people who drove from out of town, from Nebraska and stuff like that, the drone team and stuff like this, and granted, they didn't want to travel here that weekend anyway. You know, nobody did. But I think for what we did, I think, you know, to turn it around in that fast process, and what, you know, and Samantha did, you know, a ton of that legwork for us to do that and get everything out was great. You know, and to make it a success in there. And I think a lot of businesses did benefit from it, from that, from us, you know, rescheduling it, not just overall completing, you know, canceling it. And doing that, so yeah, we'll get it done for next year. It's gonna be a good year here in the Loop, and I think it's gonna be, you know, with all these departments going on, it's gonna be big events for coming forward. So,
well, all right. For all the hard work, I came down to see the drone show with my daughter and my wife, and just saw the drone show. It was spectacular. I saw Jay out there sweating, 30-degree temperature.
I wasn't sweating.
When the thing was over, I saw him out in the middle of the street moving barricades. I'm sure you got paid extra for that, right?
No, I don't get paid. I do not get paid. Yes, yeah.
No.
Yeah, the drone went off without a hitch. I think the police this year, the stopping of the streets and all that kind of stuff, it really went off without a hitch. The drones were a little late taking off because they had to do a reboot, maybe 5 minutes past. It was a clear night and it was really nice. And there's some pictures from like people from far away taking pictures of it. That kind of, you can see it over the building lines and stuff like that. That really looks cool. I think that we don't even really know how many people were actually watching it, because so many people just stepped outside and had a view of it. It went great. So,
congratulations.
Thanks. All right, Audrey, are you ready to talk about the mannequin project? How things are coming?
Okay, good morning, everyone. We are excited that we announced the call out for the artisan designers. So we are seeking artisan designers 18 years or older working in any medium to participate in this project. We are also seeking merchants to participate in the project. So if you know of any merchant, or if you're a merchant yourself, you haven't participated, it's a great opportunity. We're celebrating our 17th year this year. So participation is $350. We're also seeking donations for a scholarship. We gave away two $2,500 scholarships to University City High School graduates that will be attending a college, university, or a community college. And this is just to help close the financial gap. So we're also seeking that. If you know of anyone, any merchants, any residents that would like to support the project. The application deadline is April 3rd. Our kickoff is April 18th.
The mannequins will be on display May 17th through June 7th, May 16th through June 7th, and the finale is June 7th. So there's wonderful prizes, cash prizes for the artists and designers. We're also giving business bucks, which is like gift cards to the merchants that participate. We give through a scholarship, a scavenger hunt, so we just get people to be involved. So my email is figure8designsllc@gmail.com, and my phone number is 816-308-9424. If you have any questions for me or anything you'd like to refer or me to reach out to someone. But thank you all so much for supporting this project, and we are just excited to be celebrating another year.
All right. Thanks for that. Have a seat, Audrey. All right. Next up is our other event. That's the next main event that's coming up, too, is the Flowering Artist event. So Renee's heading that up, and she can talk to you about it.
Right. So May 16th, we're really excited. We're in our second year now. Applications are now open. It's called Zapplications. So if any of you are familiar at all with the art world, it's the formal application process that artists use nationwide. So we moved from jot form, really a simple format, to a much more professional way to apply, and that allows people to apply from anywhere in the country. So we were a one-day event. We won't expect to get a big draw, but if we can move it to a two-day event or a three-day event, that's the goal, so that it becomes another big, huge event for the Loop. But this year, so when I looked yesterday, we would like to get anywhere between 100 and 150. We had, 32 or 33 applications already, and it's very, very early. So there's a whole process to how artists actually apply and look at the dates and hold the dates, and they look at a lot of different events that they're going to, and they plot, the when and the where. And we don't even send out acceptance letters. So we do a jury fair, and then we send out acceptance notices like at the end of April. So that they don't even know if they're in it or not. And at that point in time, they pay a $75 fee. So it's a revenue-generating event in addition. $75 is really, really cheap. I mean, it's really even unheard of. And we're keeping it low because of the base that we started with, our local artists. But over time, I anticipate that we will grow that fee, so that'll be additional dollars that will go into our coffers. We also brought on Tracy Morgan to help us with the administrative aspects of the event. And Tracy has been connected to the Clayton Art Fair, Let Them Eat Art in Maplewood, and she also works for RAC, Regional Arts Commission. So we got, we got some hefty help. And so we're going to be, sending out and posting and doing everything we can. And again, like everything, the weather gods permitting, we have a fantastic day. There's no reason why we won't have an awesome event. We're going to have tents this year. Last year it was the artists connected to the businesses. We'll still have that, but we're going to have music and all of these other things to make this a bona fide, art fair. Also connected with the Mural Fest, mm-hmm. and then just grow it and develop it. So we're pretty excited about mm-hmm. all of that happening.
So yeah, so like you were saying before, Joe, adding that music, we're going to have two stages this year and have pretty much a bigger headline in one and then smaller up there in Dan Wald's property up there in that farmer's market area. So we'll have two bands there, music all day. So we can create that festival type feel, I think, is what we're going for. So in a lot of these events, I think some of the response that we got from the STL magazine, I don't know if you spoke of that or not, but one of the comments that we got from the there was a questionnaire that went out from St. Louis Magazine, and what brings you to the Loop, and 70% of them basically said special events and things that are going on in the Loop that come down, and 70% of those people were outside of this zip code 63130 and that type of deal. So it is the events that bring these people down here, and it really helps them get to walk the Loop and feel comfortable to come back at different times. So I think this event, bringing Tracy in also, will really step this up a notch, being on that application that we spent the money to go and do that application thing. And you can go to visittheloop.com and you can look at Festivals 2026 tab, and then you can click on that, and then the whole ordering thing is there. So it's on the website. So they do a great job, and Tracy's really going to help us really take this to the next level and hopefully be huge in the future. So, all right?
Yep. Good. Thank you.
Cool. Anybody have any questions or anything on those? All right. All right, so Juneteenth, Samantha?
Yeah, I think for the sake of time, maybe we skip over that because we're still in the very early planning phases of that. We're bringing back the Race for Reconciliation to the LSPP side, but I want to introduce Zach Jehovovic. Zach is the founder of Flyover Comedy Festival. This is a very exciting festival that we're bringing to the Loop. We're super excited to have it here. It was in the Grove, and now we're bringing it to the Loop as the hub for the festival. So Zach's going to talk a little bit about that. It's a four-day event, a huge economic driver for our businesses, for the Loop in general. So I'm going to pull up this presentation.
Yeah, come over this time for the video, for the audio.
But feel free to start whenever.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Zach. I'm the co-founder and executive producer of Flyover Comedy Festival. I started it in 2016 is when we had the idea to start putting things together. Our first festival was in 2017. And we have been doing this thing since. We're heading into our ninth year. There have been tens of not for the pandemic. And it's really a homegrown festival. We started off with our largest venue as the Ready Room in the Grove several years ago. And then since we've expanded to include many venues in the Grove and activate smaller rooms and everything, but also last year we had City Winery, Steeple Theater, Bethel Sheldon, with headliners like Sarah Silverman and Aziz Ansari, Patton Oswalt, Jim Notaro, and we want to keep this momentum going. And something that we ran into in the Grove was that last year we did an event at the pageant. We also had one at Del Mar Hall. But looking around the neighborhood and looking at, you know, all the businesses and the foot traffic and nightlife, we thought, like, the Loop would be pretty cool for this, and, you know, it has that capacity and infrastructure with the venues. Anyway, what makes the festival different from just bringing in headliners is we collect submissions from all across the country. And we select about half of our performers, of 150 performers, come from out of town to experience St. Louis. We take them on a trip to the City Museum or the Art Museum last year, all kinds of stuff. And it's really like this emerging pipeline of talent that gets to connect with the headliners that we book, and also a lot of industry. We have more and more industry coming. We have people from Netflix, Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, management companies, people from Arson House, who manage Gabriel Iglesias and Joe Coy and all kinds of stuff. They come here and love St. Louis, and it's been a really cool thing that's creating opportunities for St. Louis County. So we want to expand access to comedy, make this the weekend that everybody in the city and beyond comes out. And my goal with the festival and the Loop for this year is to really drive a lot of activity, whether it be not just comedy shows, but I love the idea when people are here visiting St. Louis, there's like this electricity in the street, and they can kind of like, whether there's live music in a spot or whatever. So I would like to encourage businesses to take part however they're willing. Whether it be like comedy oriented trivia or whatever, just make it a part over those 4 days, and really increase our attendance, hit our goals, and build this thing into. I already think we're a top five festival in the country for comedy. I really do. But I want to make it a top three, at least.
How do you see it beyond the budget and the whole for the basic businesses of the
week? That's a good question. So the Bear Hill Duck Room, Elvis Room, was, I've been talking with Robert and Pat about that, Pat Dagan a little bit. And perhaps the church on Del Mar, as we've been talking about that.
You don't see them outside?
Outside in November? And, yeah, in November it might be tough, and then generally, outdoor comedy, it's always better inside it, generally. It can happen, but.
Have you picked one?
November, I'm sorry.
November 12th to the 15th.
November 12th to the 15th is the weekend.
Is it typically, is it all day or is it just evening hours? How is it usually?
It usually goes from about 5 p.m. until our after parties, whenever they'll go until. But the shows, the last shows are usually at 10 p.m.
Okay.
And then we have after parties after that.
Yeah. But you can go to an event and see like four comedians at one time. You know, that's what I like that I did.
Yes, so
it's rapid fire. You don't have to sit there and drone for an hour and a half with one person.
It's a lot of different comics on the bill. We're trying to showcase comics from all over the country. So we have festival showcases where we'll present four or five comics followed by a headliner. We also have sketch, we have improv, podcasts. We'll do a variety of programming to keep it interesting, people bouncing around throughout the night. And take advantage of the wristbands. We have wristbands again, and we also sell individual tickets to the show.
Do you have the numbers from last year? How many people in the ballpark?
Last year we had 8,000.
8,000.
And our goal this year is to exceed 10,000, which I feel pretty good about, because this year, in addition to all the activity we'll have at Fluke, we're going to do two shows at Stiefel Theater. So.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else got any questions or anything? But we're excited to have you. I mean, you know, thank you for bringing it to the Loop. We really appreciate it. There's also, we're looking to incorporate the improv. I think that we looked about finding a spot that we could have an improv here, that either we could do a pop-up in some, you know, in a space that's not being utilized at the time, but we are definitely going to find a space and make that happen with somebody.
Indeed.
So
yeah, that's, you know, I think we'll need to set up a couple stages.
Yeah.
To spread it out. I mean, it would be really cool if we could spread it from one end, and that way people have to, they have to walk, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to walk by artisans, you know.
We can help organize that along with exact programming, absolutely. Yeah.
Like a sponsorship?
Oh, yeah. One other key detail that I will say, we are a 501c3 organization. I do this. I've been doing this for, like I said, 4 to 9 years. I have a full-time job. This is a labor of love for me. I try to get paid for doing it. And after some time, you know, I'm trying to transition to being part of my full-time cultural tourism for the arts in St. Louis, and I believe comedy is an art. And, you know, sometimes it gets overshadowed by the other arts with a capital A, because it's more commercial, but yeah, I want to create, you know, I think a festival has a special place in comedy as opposed to a mock show.
Can we incorporate a roast room where you get roasted?
Because
I think they're hysterical. I really think they are. We could bring Nikki Glaser in for the one night for the roast room. You could apply in advance, I guess. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate that. All right. So moving on to our Valentine's Day promotions.
Yes, and just to be brief, we have quite a few businesses have sent in. Their Valentine's Day promotions are up on the website. Please go check them out. If you're a business that has a Valentine's Day promotion or event, send it to us. We'll make sure to market that. We're doing a lot of social media around Valentine's Day to get people to come to the loop because we have so much to offer. Gozo up here tonight and have on our application developers for our dashboard and they have a quick update, just a quick overview of the Loop Passport. The Loop Passport app itself, as well as our members from Ice Carnival. We had a lot of extra downloads.
Okay, hi everyone. My name is Kevin, and co-founder of Gozo. I'm a co-founder of Shanai. Just wanted to
give you a mover of the slides.
Just want to give you a quick update on the results of the app for Ice Carnival and some plans that we have for the year going forward. So right now we're at 5,000 downloads of the app, so 4,679 downloads for this number. On Ice Carnival, we had around 1,900 new downloads of the app. That was really good because we somehow put a wayfinder with QR codes, and we were here for the Ice Carnival, and we did hear from people that they were using the app. In some cases, in space off the flyers in terms of the map, so that was really good. And we had an adventure, which was the scavenger hunt for the app, the ice sculptures. We had 635 people participating in that, and 64% of them completed at least 50% of it. We think the reason why they didn't complete it is that by the time some of the sun was up, some of the ice sculptures were hard to make out, so they were, it was like kind of a Pokemon rescue ice sculpture. So people were a bit, we did have 12 sculptures and a lot of folks did something from that. One other thing, what we did previously before Ice Carnival, we did a research with university students. Over 700 university students between WashU, SLU, and UMSU students, and what we found is that 91% of those students were highly motivated to explore a space and like a gamified experience, and that has informed a lot of the adventures that we put in the app to make sure that people feel like they're doing something while they're, you know, going around and finding businesses. And then 67% of them prefer a cashback in terms of a way of getting money back to a business, but 41% felt that if you offer like a discount, they will come in, but if it's like a cashback, they're more likely to come back and spend again with that business. So that's kind of informing where our next points are going to be in terms of the app. So we're adding more adventures. We're working with Samantha to add some more adventures, one of which is the Art Walk. which will have a self-guided adventure where you can explore different art installations across the districts, as well as Planet Walk, which is another event, and as well as Taco Crawl, which Samantha had last year, but it's going to be in the app for this year. So, and you can see on the screen some of the mock-ups, but you can also check the app out on the phone on your phones to see some of the things that we have there. So, what's the cashback? Because I mentioned that before. So, a cashback is like the program where when you shop there, you're able to earn a reward or a money back on your digital wallet. So, within the app right now, there's a wallet section that we are going to add some more, reveal some more stuff to the public. So, when they link their card, it's just simple. We're partnering with Amex, MasterCard, and Visa. So it makes it simple for them to add their cards, they can link that, and when they shop at participating businesses, then they will be able to earn those cash back. But they can only spend what they earn with businesses in the network. So the goal of it is to keep everything local, so the money doesn't leave the system, it doesn't leave the community, it stays where it is. So if I could just give you like a mental map of what that looks like. So meet Jane. So Jane is a Washington student. Right, she goes to, let's say, Blueberry Hill, and she spends $70 on dinner or lunch, and then she earns a cash back. And then when Jane is considering, where do I go? Do I go outside of the district to buy another lunch or dinner, or do I stay in the district? She's going to say, I'm going to stay, because when I go there, I earn a cash back. So that's kind of how we're going to make sure that people not just go for the discount, but they come back to the district, participate in everything that all of these things have to offer. So we're rolling this out, right? And what we're going to be doing is, you know, making sure that everyone is able to access it. So we're building partnerships with different stakeholders, apartment buildings, also memberships within the city, such as the Botanical Gardens, as well as university partners, WashU, of course. We did a WashU event last year, which was really, really successful in getting people from the university to download the app. So we're doing a lot of those partnerships, which represent over 120,000 potential people. We can more engage with the district and with the app and what we're doing. So we have an audience that businesses can also communicate. So what's in it for the businesses? What we're doing is making sure that everyone has access to this. They can put up their offers and deals. We've been doing that. A lot of you here, Sunshine Daydream, have been sending in your offers. We're going to make that process a lot more easier. We've been getting the feedback and some of the events that you're hosting as well. We're going to make sure that that is even more simple. And go ahead. Yeah. So this is where we're going to onboard you. So Samantha actually has a lot of influence on us because she listens to you guys and she communicates that with us. So this is a merchant partner hub, so it's an app for you guys that you can see what's happening on the other side. And then you can get notifications on when you need to post stuff and when you need to add stuff. And it makes it much easier for you to see data analytics, like how many redemptions do you get, like how many people came to your store and used this offer that you put up. So you can better manage your return on investment on your side. So we're making sure that we have this out by the end of this month. So we'll be coming along with the districts. We have 3140 coming up, so we're trying to get the cashback out for that so we can have some participating stores. So if you are interested in participating in the first rollout of that, just, you know, meet us at the back at the end. But of course, we'll be in the district, regional team, having conversations and see how we can make sure we keep more dollars local, drive economic spending, and make sure that, you know, the district is a place that people want to come and spend time and stuff. So that's our presentation. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you very much.
Three different companies have discovered the idea of digital economic development and they're all approaching it in different ways. One is obviously Pujoso, which is fantastic work. Another company is Bear Studios at Washington University, which has got about 25 students we've worked with over the last 3 years. There's iNeighborhood, the digital district. You are so lucky to have this happen here. It's not happening anywhere in the world. It's happening here because of Washington Tech. And, but even more important, something's happening right now in St. Louis. St. Louis is in very good shape. And we're about to get this change in demographics. How many are familiar with that? Within the next couple of years, the number of deaths is going to exceed the number of being born. And St. Louis loses its talent anyway. So St. Louis is in really bad shape. We've got to do everything we can to make our neighborhood stronger, our city stronger, because the other neighborhoods are going to be competing with us. The municipalities are going to be competing with us for less people. So what iNeighborhood and Bear Studios is doing, we've reached out to University City and we're applying for the Caleb Funds, which is a fund that was set up for a local TV programming channel which never appeared in University City. And we're going to just blow those numbers out with putting University City on the map with a whole bunch of features that we've developed between University City, Michigan City, Indiana, and Barcelona, Spain, which is the smart city capital of the world. We've developed an incredible K-12 platform for schools. We've developed an incredible community safety application, which has been well received in Barcelona. And we also have a rewards mechanism, which I won't go into detail, but it's based upon blockchain. So
hey, Dave. We're going to have to cut you off because you're going into a whole other realm of everything. This is really the Fugoso thing. If you had any questions for them about their app or whatever, this is kind of like another, you know, like we've talked about it in the past. But if you have any more questions, do you have anything for them or anything for their app or anything like that, we can do that. We can schedule something else for you. That would be great.
So I would like to invite Fugoso to participate in the Caleb application for University City.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in that, I realize you might want to think about this a little bit. I've asked Wayne Spuds and the council member to reach out to you all about what that might look like on the University City side.
Yeah, well, why don't you talk to him right after the meeting? You guys can have a little meeting, brief meeting. That'd be great, right? Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. I will just say this app has been a huge asset for the district. Honestly, never expected to get almost 5,000 users. It's been a great experiment. We're so happy to have Fugoso develop something unique that's actually engaging with people. Our push notifications have great open rate numbers. It is keeping people in the loop and interacting with our businesses. So I know we talked about a lot of future details, the cashback, the new login for the back end of the app. Right now we have simple Google Forms where you can sign in for promotions and events. We're making that a lot easier and the ability to track the results. So more to come on that, but we're very thankful for the application. Great work, guys.
All right, so Dan's out of the country. To give you guys the treasurer report, we started at the beginning of this month with $68,654.47. The account is sitting at $16,874 right now. We've paid out majority of the items for the Ice Carnival. We've paid all the insurance that we have for the entire year has been paid up. So we're covered there. So we are sitting pretty good right now moving forward. And we're waiting, and now that we're doing these next events and stuff like that that are coming up, we're concentrating on that. So there you go on that. Is there any old business?
Well, I just asked about the trees we talked about some months ago.
Jesse was at the last meeting. I think he gave his demonstration. I think he spoke before you got there. I think you arrived late, but Jesse did. I think he replaced, I don't know how many trees he did, but close to 20 trees that I think he's replaced up and down the loop so far, and obviously the cold's stuck in, and so, but that's an ongoing thing now that EDRST is funding to do the more trees up and down there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Joe.
Just a quick comment on Valentine's Day. Hoover Hill's going to have Valentine's Day karaoke.
Breakup songs or makeup songs?
We have you on the website too.
Yeah, yeah, we have you on the website. Yeah.
Yeah, we have you list your event listed on the website. But it sounds like a riot. I mean, there's going to be a lot of fun songs being sung that night.
Yeah. All right. So no more public comment or anything on that?
I have a public comment, but is this old or new?
Whatever. They don't make a difference. You're good.
I think I've talked to almost all the developers with all the stuff going on. And tomorrow night there's an event. Hopefully Samantha can make it for the developer of the apartment project. They're still looking for a tenant for the corner space. And they've got some headway with a couple of them. But nothing solidified yet. So tomorrow night they're having a party to host a bunch of brokers in town, dealmakers to try to, again, I think they're just trying to find the right tenant. They're not trying to get the most money possible, which I think is a huge opportunity for the move.
Which building?
The new apartment building.
So they're still trying to find a restaurant tenant.
3,700 square foot space, which is big. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they'll pare it down to like 3,000 square feet if they have to and keep 700 for themselves. But
I hope they have Zara, the big Spanish thing down in Delicia. Biggest in the world.
That would be great. Just no chance. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of work to do before we get the Zaras of the world that in here in the loop, which is great. I think we're on our way.
We don't even have it in St. Louis.
Yeah. They would be great down here. And they're doing a huge international expansion, but the brokers have called, and it's not on the table yet. But I think the main thing is they want a retail tenant to service their tenants, their people.
But that would be Zara.
How often is somebody going to buy some pair of shoes from the apartment building once a year? Anyway, they're looking for a retail tenant to service the apartment building. They've already got a coffee shop. The hotel is moving really fast. I think they're still on schedule for about a September opening, but their preliminary indications are that thing's going to be packed, which is huge. Yeah, they're almost looking for some breathing space, so they've approached me about my school building to see if there's some breathing space there that they can maybe put some event space or some fitness facilities or something, because they're seeing a lot of hotel use, and they think that this should be really good for the loop and really, really highly occupied, which is great.
Yeah.
So, the school building is moving forward. But yeah, that's kind of the update on what's going on with the retail. I still see a lot of vacancies.
I think you had a question. Do you have a question?
Yeah. No, I just was curious. The school building you're referring to,
right behind you.
Is that the
right
Harvard
behind
Harvard store?
Harvard.
The Harvard.
The Harvard. Yep.
Oh, you own that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I don't own it yet. We're closing in 30 days. We're still working through a lot of stuff, but it's not easy. The MSD not being really playing really fun in the sandbox, but we're close. So I just think the whole west end of the loop is going to look like a completely different. It's going to be unrecognizable in 9 months, and I like the energy of what's going on here. And I'm happy to continue to host this. Apologize about what happened today, but if we can get Washi maybe to help us just lock it down for some time, or if we want to have it elsewhere, I'm just saying I'm happy to host it, because I do think it's easier for the, if I can get my act together next time, easier on the IT stuff, and pretty easy to get coffee and all that kind of stuff. And please support the coffee shop if you can. They're not always as busy as they'd like to be. We need more of stuff like this to keep happening in the loop, I think. So, but I do like the energy, and thanks for all the positive energy. Seems like we got a lot of cool events going on and lots of positive stuff. What happened before is irrelevant to what's going to happen in the future.
Can't look back, just look ahead. Right, look forward.
It's really cool.
So with that, our next meeting will be March 10th. And as Tommy said, we'll make sure that all of our technology is in order. We will have a room reserved. Thank you for those who joined us on Zoom, bearing with us. But expect a different room next meeting. But we'll see you all on March 10th.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second motion. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you all for joining.